In a few minutes, how Spider-Man crashed the trade war. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Interest rate jockeys at the Federal Reserve raised the cost of borrowing 0.25% yesterday, as expected. The Fed chair hinted there might just be 2 more hikes next year, not 3, as expected. So why did market players take umbrage? Drew Mattis is managing director and chief market strategist at MetLife.
So the market had set its expectations the day before. The idea was the Fed would hike, but then promised to hike less in the future. The chairman said that, and then the market said, you know what, we kind of wanted a little bit more.
I suppose, though, we can, a day later, celebrate the fact that Chairman Powell was very upbeat about the U.S. economy.
Well, that's the other fly in the ointment. So if you were to just ignore the market for a second and look at what the economy was telling you, the chair shouldn't be slowing the pace of rate hikes. But instead, you know, he's nodding to the market and saying, you're telling me something different and I'm listening. And the market's saying, no, you really need to listen much more carefully.
But no dark clouds?
Well, we see the economy ticking along pretty well, and we think 2019 looks to be about as good as 2018 in terms of growth. The risk is all coming from financial markets and the possibility that financial markets will cause business leaders to maybe cut back on investment or to cut back on hiring because of the volatility they're seeing in their equity prices.
Drew Mattis, Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist at MetLife. Thank you.
Thank you.
I never thought I'd see the day when a late comic book writer and publisher, Stan Lee, was honored at a World Trade Organization gathering, but here we are. Every 2 years, the WTO holds what's considered a kind of boring meeting to talk about how the U.S. is doing with trade. But this week, things were hotter, and the Chinese sent a higher-level delegation than normal. Now to the comics. BBC economics reporter Andrew Walker has covered the WTO for years. Andrew, there was a moment of reverence from the Chinese for the man who launched Spider-Man?
Well, not just honouring him, they actually quoted Spider-Man himself with the words, "With great power comes great responsibility." And the Chinese official then went on to say that in the case of the United States, there's a severe mismatch between power and responsibility. And the Chinese were making a point that got some echo, I must say, from some other WTO members, suggesting that there is a crisis in the WTO, in the rules-based international trading system, and the United States, they argue, is very much at the epicenter of it.
But again, all this within the context of, for instance, the Europeans acknowledging that China's trade position also needs work.
There's no question about that. The European Union does think there is a serious problem with China, and they do broadly agree with the United States on that specific point about intellectual property, technology, patents, designs, and so forth, and copyright. But they just don't think what they regard as the excessively unilateralist way the United States has gone about doing it is the right thing to do.
The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
A mess now at one of London's big airports, Gatwick. Infuriatingly, the problem is a drone or drones of unknown origin flying over the runways. Police say they believe the intrusions are deliberate. The airport's been closed to flights since last night. Cancellations, diversions, the lines for coffee are 2 hours long. Airport personnel have been singing Christmas carols. One of our BBC friends said this morning to call it pandemonium would be an understatement. Numbers alone don't tell the whole story. That's why Marketplace tells the stories behind the numbers, stories of real people, of businesses both big and small, and of the impact the economy has on each of us. Because you appreciate this kind of public service journalism, we're asking you to give something back. Donate today at marketplace.org, and your gift will go twice as far, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Let's talk the year to come with Daniel Franklin, who's editor of a standalone Economist magazine supplement called The World in 2019, starting with the 20 and 30-somethings becoming number one. Daniel, welcome.
Good to be here.
So we're going to cross a threshold in this new year. American millennials will outnumber the baby boomers as the big generation?
Yes, well, it's been a long time coming. I mean, I think people have for a while now said how important millennials are going to be. And they have somewhat different expectations, it seems, of what a good working life is and also different consumer habits. So businesses are desperately interested in millennial habits and tend to be more interested in experiences than stuff, more used to that sort of gig economy. So all this sort of thing is going to be growing. It's not a dramatic change overnight, but it is the crossover point.
Another statistic that you point out for 2019 is what, about half the world will be connected to the internet at some point next year?
Yes, at some point. I think you're likely to see headlines that says that half the world is online. There are different ways of measuring this. And then a number of questions immediately get raised. How do you bring the other half online? But also, how do you do it in a way that ensures that people have proper access and not biased access?
Now, about the economy in 2019, the world economy and markets, there's a sense in the United States that trees don't grow to the sky and that a recession could happen at some point. Do you think that's imminent? Is it a foregone conclusion?
Not a foregone conclusion, of course, but I've described it as wobbly, the sense of the economic outlook. And by the middle of next year, assuming that the growth continues in America, but it's also going to lead people to think, well, how long can this last? And you have a number of headwinds that the economy is going to be battling against. The higher interest rates, the stimulus from the Trump tax cuts is going to be wearing off. The trade war with China, we'll have to see how the current truce plays out. All these things mean that I think it'll be a tougher time for the economy. And towards the end of the year, is our prediction, we're going to be pretty close to the start of the next American recession.
Daniel Franklin edited The World in 2019, where you can read all about it. He's also getting a new hat at The Economist magazine. He's the incoming diplomatic editor. Daniel, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And the Budweiser beer people are teaming up with the big cannabis company Tilray in a $100 million deal to bring cannabis drinks to Canada. The money's to study non-alcoholic drinks that might contain the calming cannabis chemical and or the psychoactive chemical. What would it be, the red can or the green can? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.